Well, good morning. Good morning. How's everybody doing? Good morning. That was good. Good. Well, it's so good to see you. My name is Michael. If we haven't met, I'm one of the pastors here at Redemption Church. And on behalf of our church, I just want to welcome you this morning. Hey, thank you so much for being here. If you are new with us today, we want to say that you are our honored guest today. We're so excited that you join us. We hope that you're encouraged and challenged by what you hear and see today. And so just thank you so much for being with us today. And so, hey, before we dive into our sermon for today, I want to give us a quick announcement as well. Believe it or not, I don't know if you all can believe this. I was shocked to realize this morning, but we are almost a month in to 2023. Can you believe that? Almost a month down. It's the 29th, so just a couple more days in the month of January, and we're all done. And believe it or not, our community groups start back today. Community groups and DNA groups are going to start back in just a couple of weeks. And so if you are not currently in a community group, and if you haven't signed up yet, I want to urge you and encourage you to make sure that you sign up. We want you to commit to community here in 2023. Don't do life alone. It's going to be an amazing time. If you've never been in one of our community groups, we take time to open up the scripture and talk about the sermon and unpack it for our lives. And we spend that time in the afternoon. We have one that actually meets today at 4 o'clock. You can sign up for that one. And then we have ones that meet all the way Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday night as well. So you can pick any of those nights. They meet in homes throughout the week, and you can go to our website, redemptionroanoke.com/groups. And you're able to sign up right there on our website and see where they're located, what night of the week, what time they start, all of those things as well. So make sure that you commit to community in 2023. And so as you all know, or if you haven't been here over the last few weeks, we've been in a sermon series that we've titled Vision 2023. And we've said, as Pastor Carter said a few weeks ago, our vision as elders this year, as pastors, that we laid out for you is that we want this to be a year of deep, dependent worship. Last year, in 2022, we talked about that was a year of hospitality, and we wanted people to feel Jesus's love through us. And this year, we want it to be a year, we realized before we can really ever have people feel Jesus's love through us, that we want to feel Jesus's love for ourselves, that we want to sit in that we want to worship him, that we want to put him deeper than anything else. We want him to be the deepest desire of our hearts. And so we've laid that out for you. And over the last few weeks, the last 2 weeks, Pastor Carter has talk to us about the marks of a healthy disciple, right? We say that we are disciples of Christ, that we want to grow to look more like Jesus. And so as you're thinking about that, what are some marks that we can look at and set ourselves up with to say, hey, we're doing the right things. It seems like we are growing in our faith and growing to look more like him. And so we've laid out three marks of a healthy disciple, and we've kind of titled that the upward, inward, outward life. Right? So we want to love God completely. That is upward. We said that the first week. We want to love him. That goes along with deep, dependent worship. We want to love him before anything else. We want to love him before our family. We want to love him before anything in this world. And we want to put first things first. So we talked about that the first week. Last week, we talked about the part of the greatest commandment that we often miss. We say the greatest commandment is that we want to love God with everything that we have. And we want to love our neighbor as ourselves. And we always forget that. We know we want to love our neighbor, right? We get that part, but we forget ourselves. And so we want to have the right mindset. We need to look at ourselves correctly. We need to love ourselves because God does. And so Carter last week had a great time where he kind of talked about we usually lean one way or the other. We either love ourselves too much and that comes to pride, or we don't love ourselves enough and that is shame. And we need to look at ourselves correctly. We need to realize that we were chosen, the Bible says, that we were adopted into God's family, and we were made in the image of God. And so we need to have the right mindset when it comes to our own life, right? And so today, the last part of that, if you think about just the natural progression and the flow, if we are loving God completely and we are loving ourselves correctly, naturally, what's next? We want to love others compassionately. Because we've seen how much we've been loved, how much Jesus cared for us. And right, naturally, that overflows into telling the world about him, into loving others compassionately. And so that's our topic for today, love others compassionately. And when I think of that idea of loving others compassionately, one of the people outside of Jesus, one of the people that comes to mind is somebody named Pedro Claver. Pedro Claver. I don't know if you've ever heard of Pedro Claver. He was actually a Jesuit priest during the early 1600s. And no doubt, if you lived in Cartagena, Colombia, during that time, you would have heard about this Jesus-loving, gospel-driven man named Pedro Claver. It's crazy because when the African slaves would come first to Cartagena during that time, the very first person that they would see is Pedro. They would see him. He would be there ready to go with a basket full of food because he realized these slaves that were coming over probably were not fed or were barely fed. They're malnourished. And so he wanted to give them food. He wanted to love them. So he would have baskets of food waiting for them as they arrived in Cartagena. And not only that, he would have baskets of clothing as well because he knew that these slaves probably did not have any clothing. Maybe cloths or barely anything, maybe nothing. So what he wanted to do is come alongside of them and clothe them and meet that physical and that physical need. And so again, and not only just the clothing and the food that he would give them, he would have a team of doctors ready to greet these slaves and to attend to their physical bodies. He knew, and even out of his own pocket, which is crazy, he created a leprosarium, which is meant to house people with leprosy to be able to attend to their needs. And he knew many of these slaves contracted leprosy and had leprosy during this time. And so out of the money out of his own pocket, he created this leprosarium to bring them there, to be able to love them, to care for them. But one of the best parts about Pedro Claver is that he did not just care about their physical needs. He knew that there was an even greater spiritual need that these slaves had as they were coming to Cartagena. And they see all the brokenness that they did. And so what he would do is he would tell them about the beauty of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He would gather them over and he would share scriptures like Romans 5:8 that says, God has demonstrated his own love to us. And yet while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And some of these slaves would come to know Jesus Christ and he would share the gospel. They would come to know and be in faith, and it was incredible. But even more so, Pedro cared about their discipleship. He wanted them to grow into being more of a disciple. He wanted to grow them to grow to look more like Jesus. And this is unheard of in the 17th century, that a non-black freed person would actually disciple slaves. It was unheard of during that time that he would do this, that he would love them enough to care about their discipleship, to even tell them about Jesus. And he wanted to see them grow up into people that loved God and loved others. And so what he would do is he would get cloths and he would fold them to that there is three corners. The story goes that there is three corners, and he would share them doctrines like the Trinity. He would say these three corners represent God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, yet they're one cloth. The way that we believe that there is one God. And he would share these doctrines with these slaves, and it was beautiful that he loved them so much. And when Pedro, when he made his final profession as a Jesuit priest in 1622, he signed his vows this way. He said, Pedro Claver, the slave of the Africans forever. It is said by numerous sources that Pedro Claver baptized more than 300,000 enslaved people by 1651. I mean, hear that, 300,000 enslaved people he baptized. Church, this was a man who loved others compassionately. He loved others compassionately. I wanna ask you today, do you want your life to look like that? Does this describe your life? Don't you want that type of life? Let me also ask you, what are you living for today? What are you living for? Is it for yourself? Is it for your family? Is it for your version of the American dream? Is that what you're living for? I want you to think about that today. What is your life? What are you living for? And what I want to urge you today by God's word is I want to urge you to love like Jesus. Love like Jesus. That's our main point today. If you're taking notes, you want to write that down. Love like Jesus, that simple. And why? Why do we love like Jesus? Because people are the mission. People are the mission. It's one of our plumb lines here as a church that we say that. We put it on everything and we want to say this, but not only do we want to say it and shout it, we want to live it out as a church. We don't want to be a people that just says that we believe in Jesus, that we care about people. We want to love compassionately, but we want to act. And we want to tell the people about Jesus and meet physical and spiritual needs just as Pedro did. So again, our main point, love like Jesus. And so we're going to be in Matthew chapter 9 today. verses 35 through 38, if you wanna turn there, or you can look at the screens. So Matthew 9, 35 through 38. And so as we're thinking about loving others compassionately, right, we wanna ask ourselves, what is compassion? What is biblical compassion? Not what is compassion, what does the Webster Dictionary say, or what does our world say, what do we think it is? No, we wanna look at what is biblical compassion. So let's look at the most compassionate person that there has ever been. We wanna look at the account of Jesus and what he says about compassion. And so read with me, just to give you a quick context, Matthew, as he's writing here, is talking about Jesus, and Jesus is right in the middle of his ministry. He is loving people, he is healing, he is feeding the sick, he is doing all these things, telling people about the good news about the kingdom of God. So we're right here in the middle of that in verse 35. It says this, "And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" So church, again, I ask you, what is biblical compassion? And what I wanna do today based on our text is I wanna give you and show you three components of biblical compassion. Three components of biblical compassion. The first one is this, that we must see the need. We must see the need. This is based on verse 35. To jog your memory, let me read it one more time for us. It says this, "And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction." And so as we're looking at that verse, the New Testament, most of you probably know this, but the New Testament was originally written in the language, in Greek language, right? And these, looking at the Greek verbs here in verse 35, most commentators and scholars would say that Matthew was not saying that Jesus went through every single town, every single village, and what Matthew is saying is that he healed every single disease and every illness. But what Matthew is getting at, what he's trying to get us to see, is that this is what Jesus was constantly doing. He was constantly ministering. He was constantly walking to different villages. He was constantly telling people about the kingdom of God. He was constantly healing and doing ministry. And you just imagine for a second, if he's walking from town to town, village to village, in his humanity, think about how tired Jesus must be at this point, right? He's constantly ministering. Think about how tired he must be. He was walking from village to village, and he's constantly around people, whether it's his disciples or the people that he was ministering to. And if you read through chapters 8 and 9, you will see that most of the healings that Jesus did were because of interruptions. So we're reading the end of verse 9 today, as you see, but if you would go back and read chapters 8 and 9, you would see that most of those miracles that he performed were interruptions. It wasn't planned. He didn't have in his calendar, "I got to pencil in that demon casting." He's not like, "Man, I got that demon casting at 3. Man, tomorrow on Thursday, I got that healing at 1. I got to make up." No, these were interruptions. So when I ask you, can I ask you this today? Is your schedule so busy that you don't even have time to see the needs of the broken people around you? Is your schedule so busy that you don't even have time to be able to minister to people because you're constantly moving from one activity to another and you don't have the time to be able to love people and to see the needs? What if the Holy Spirit prompted you to minister to someone outside of your schedule tomorrow? Would you be able to even hear his voice? Or is your schedule that busy? You wouldn't even be able to know and recognize his voice because we're so busy. That's one of the things in America. It seems like we're so busy with kids' activities and everything that we have to do that we don't have time. We need to create margin in our lives, and we need to have a practice of daily silence and prayer. We have to have that practice to be able to take time to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Church, I remember this in seminary. When I was in seminary and Bible college in North Carolina, I remember we constantly heard this phrase called the Christian bubble, the Christian bubble. And the Christian bubble is this idea that because of a lot of students lived on campus or near the campus during that time, our entire lives revolved around school. So we were never around non-Christians, really. As we were learning about the Bible and learning about how to evangelize and tell people about our faith, we were never around them, right? And so it was entirely, and then also my friends were Christians, our classmates were Christians, right? And most of the students, or a lot of the students on campus, had jobs on the campus or in Christian organizations around the campus. So it was entirely possible to go your entire 2 to 4 years at seminary and Bible college without ever really having an interaction with a non-Christian. And so we get into our Christian bubbles and we can't see needs like we ought to. So church, let me ask you, does this describe your life? Because it's very easy, even though I did it in seminary, it's very easy for us to do that no matter where we live. It's very easy to make this your home, and this needs to be a great spot where you can love and interact with other Christians. But we need to have times where we get outside of our bubbles, right? And we get into the city. We need to practice the ministry of presence, where we're seeing the needs of people around us. And Jesus did this. He practiced the ministry of presence. Jesus had every reason to distance himself from others, yet he was with the worst of sinners. He wasn't some ivory tower savior that stayed away and looked down on his people. He traveled from town to town. He saw the hurting. He touched the people with leprosy. He was up close and personal in proximity with them. Are you doing that? Is that describing our lives as believers, where we're with people that look different than us, that have different views from us, right? Or are you trying to keep your family safe? Are you trying to stay safe yourself? Are you hidden from the broken and hurting people around you? And I think it's important for us to be able to point out here that biblical compassion always assumes need. Biblical compassion, it always assumes need, right? Because there is no compassion without need. And in the preceding chapters of 8 and 9, Jesus was healing the sick, and he was raising the dead, and he calmed the stormy sea. He exorcised demons. And listen, those needs are important. And the needs around us of our city, those physical needs are very important. But those needs are important. But woven throughout the scenes in these verses is Jesus's recognition of an underlying problem that is far worse. The problem is sin. The problem is sin. The deeper illness of the paralytic, of the tax collector, of the Pharisee, is their sin. And that's why biblical compassion always assumes need, because all of us at our core are sinful. We're all broken. We all do the wrong things, right? We all need spiritual healing. And we can see this so easily in society, from the brokenness of politics to the wars that are going on overseas right now, to the brokenness that we see in our own city. All of us have been broken by sin. And y'all hear me, sin is not cured by religion. Sin is not cured by religion. Sin is only cured by the great physician, Jesus Christ. And so let me tell you today, if you were trying to do one good deed after another to earn God's approval, to earn God's love for you, even if you're trying to come here to get God to be happy with you, if you're trying to come to church for that, please stop, because that is not the gospel. That's not the gospel. The gospel is this free gift that even though that we could never earn God's love, that Jesus came into the world and had compassion on us when we did not have compassion. And he died the death that we could not die. He died the death for us, right? And so see, these crowds wanted healing without attending to their deeper spiritual need of salvation from sin. The concerns that we often think are the greatest needs in our lives often are not. The concerns that we often think are the greatest needs may not be, but as we put ourselves into God's hands, he understands our lives better than we do. And he is far more concerned with the development of our hearts than he is with the comfort of our lives. He is far more concerned with your character, the development of your heart, than he is with the comfort of our lives. Because our goal in this life is not comfort, right? It's to be in relationship with him and be transformed into his image. And let me tell you, he was not comfortable what Jesus did. Church, we must see the need, but secondly, if we are to have biblical compassion, then we must feel the need as well. We must see the need, but we must feel the need. This is based on verse 36. It says this: when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Most of all the biblical translations that we have today actually describe these two words that describe the object of Jesus' compassion. The two words that I just read here are harassed and helpless, but the commentary that I was reading, they actually said that harassed and cast down were the two words that best describe the Greek words translated here. Harassed and cast down. They convey a people completely without resource. This is why Jesus goes on to say that they are like sheep without a shepherd. Church, this is a depiction of our city and our world today. And it's a depiction of us apart from Jesus, right? That this, our world is searching. You can see right there as you leave today, there is a sign that says, lead a restless culture to the redeeming Savior. Church, our world is restless. They don't have the resources like we do, the gospel resources like we do, the physical resources as well. And so we must be about this idea of loving them, of caring for them, of loving like Jesus. And church, they need the redeeming Savior to give them life spiritually. They need a shepherd. And I don't know if you know much about sheep. I'm sure you know that they're not the brightest animals in the world. Sheep are defenseless animals, and without a shepherd, they are vulnerable to any and all attacks. Even without predators, they are in trouble if they have no shepherd because they are not good foragers. They need a shepherd to lead them to green pastures and beside still waters. See, goats manage very well by themselves. They can find what they need and scurry about, right? But sheep are not like this. They have to have a shepherd to do that. And I don't know if you've seen, there's a video that was circulating on social media and Facebook a few months ago. And it was this sheep, I don't know if you saw it, it was this, there was a sheep that was stuck down in this little crack that ran down this road, right? I don't know if you've seen this. And there's this sheep that was head first down in this crack, and there's this young farmer, or the young shepherd it looks like, that has some kind of rope or his belt that he takes off, and he's trying to pull this sheep out of the ground, out of this crack, and he finally gets it out, right? And it scurries about, and it runs, and it's like prancing really beautifully, and it prances up in the air, and it falls right back into the same exact crack a little bit further along, right? And it is a depiction. It's like really funny. You're like, man, dumb sheep, how in the world can you do that? And then you realize, oh wait, this is the word that Jesus uses to describe me apart from him, right? This is the word that Jesus uses to describe our world. And as funny as that story is, how much so is it that we, man, want to love people, that we serve people, but we always fall back into the same sin over and over and over again. I think it's Peter that says in the book of 1st or 2nd Peter, it's like a dog going back to its own vomit. And he says, and it's this idea that we go back to our sin, and we do that. Even though we get out of it, Jesus gets us out of it, we jump right back into it as well. And so we may think, though, as thinking about these verses, we may think that the evil and the opposition that Jesus encountered would harden him. But one of the most striking pictures in these verses and in this scene is his compassion. So redemption, again, let me ask you, what is compassion? What is compassion actually? Compassion is actually a Latin word that means to suffer with. It means to suffer with. It's this idea when we see a need, we can feel the pain and the anguish so deeply that we suffer with that person. We can feel their pain. And I think in a small way, if you've ever watched a sporting event, to describe that, and you've seen someone on TV, it's one of the hardest things to watch. When they break their arm or they break a leg at a sporting event, and you see that thing kind of flop over and just move around, you get so squeamish right immediately. You're like, I can't look at it, and it's just hard to watch. And it's just for a small instant, I feel like that's what compassion is getting us to see. It's this, we can feel that pain, that anguish that they're experiencing. And it's that same idea. I think compassion goes way deeper than that though, right? Because when we're seeing people hurting, when we're seeing them suffer, we want to feel that anguish that they have. And like I said, I think compassion runs deeper than that. But y'all, the danger for us is that in the age of the smartphone, in the age of social media, of TV, is that we have more access to news than ever before. We can see the bombing taking place in Europe or the murder in New York. Y'all, we've become numb to people suffering in our city because it's all around us. We become numb to people dying without Jesus. When is the last time that you cried for people in our city that are dying without Jesus? When is the last time that you felt that burden of people suffering in our city? Let me ask you, do you get angry immediately when a homeless person asks you for money? Church, y'all, we cannot be just a people that feels the needs. We cannot be a people that just say that we believe in Jesus and not feel deeply and act and love people well. As we see the needs of people all around us, we must allow our hearts to feel deeply with them. But we cannot stop there. Lastly today, we must meet the need. We must meet the need. So we must see the need. We must feel the need. We must feel the compassion. But lastly, we must meet the need. We must meet the need. This is based on verses 37 and 38. They say this. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." So church, y'all, you might have heard this phrase before, but anytime that we see a therefore in the Bible, we need to ask ourselves, what is it there for? Yes, that's right. So we need to ask, anytime we see that, we need to ask ourselves, what is it there for? And it is therefore in verse 38, because the state of affairs indicated in verse 37, it demands action. Verse 37, it says the harvest is plentiful. Y'all, the harvest is plentiful. We need, people are suffering without Jesus Christ. They have physical and spiritual needs, and we've been called to act, right? And that demands action. And so we need to pray, God, would you raise up more laborers? Would you raise up more people that will know you and be sent out to Roanoke and around the world for your glory? So we must see the need and we must act. And y'all, if there was ever a city or ever a county that has physical and spiritual needs, it's right here in Roanoke. Listen to some of these statistics that I was able to collect this week. Roanoke City has the highest number of kids in the foster care system in the entire state of Virginia. The highest number of foster care system. Y'all, that's a need. Need. Number two, from January 1st to June 30th of last year, the city of Roanoke experienced 43 fatal drug overdoses, according to the Virginia Department of Health. Y'all, that's a need. In 6 months, 43 people ended their lives because of a drug overdose. And we need to love people well. That's a need. Number three, the poverty rate in Roanoke, Virginia is 44% higher than the U.S. average. In Roanoke, it is estimated that 18.4% of people that live in poverty. Y'all, that's almost 50% higher than the rest of the United States. 50% here in Roanoke. An estimated 216 to 250 people are homeless in our city. 216 to 250 people live homeless right now, and as we're getting into the middle of the winter. Y'all, that's a need. Then number four, there are not one, but there are two abortion clinics located in our city, in a city of less than 100,000 people. In a city of Greensboro that's a much bigger city, there's only one. Y'all, that's a need. We need to love people well. Love them well. And then number five, racial tensions are still high. And I could go on and on with the physical needs of our city, right? Y'all, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And Jesus knows that there is only so much that we can do in our limited human strength. And that's why the very first action that he gives us, when he's talking about meeting the needs, he says, first thing you need to do, pray. Pray to me, pray to God. We need to be praying, God, we can't do this on our own, right? God, would you save people? Would you help us see people come to know Jesus and then raised up and sent out to meet these real physical needs? But not only that, let's tell people about Jesus and what he has done for us so that they can have an eternity with a God that loves them, that cared for them, that died for them, that we need to meet the physical and the spiritual. But first things we gotta do is we need to pray. And one easy thing to do, like as a quick application point, one of the things that Carter and I have done, and in the circles that our church is involved in, we know of a church in Iowa that has done this. What you can do is you can take out your phone, and this version that we are reading today, the passage, Matthew chapter 9, is actually a parallel story to Luke 10:2. Luke 10:2 says the same thing. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers. So one thing that other churches, that Luke 10:2 passage is probably the most famous of the two. And so other churches and other people, other Christians, what they've done is they've got out their phone and they've set a reminder on their phone at 10:02 every single day, 10:02 a.m., to pray for more people to come out into the harvest, to more laborers, right? And so they do that. So that's one thing that Carter and I have on our phones. So every day at 10:02, we get a little buzz and we take five. I'm not saying you need to take 30 minutes to an hour to sit there and pray with your coworkers and the people around you, but just take 5 minutes. Even if it needs to be a prayer in your head, just pray, God, would you send more laborers to Roanoke? Would you see more people around the world, more missionaries sent out to places that have no access to the gospel so that people can hear about the life-giving hope of Jesus Christ? So a simple application for you is take out, set a reminder at 10:02 and just write pray 10:02. And that's just a reminder every day to take some time to do that. And so as we pray and we meet needs, physical and spiritual around us, we continue to remember that all of us have need. All of us have need. Physical and spiritual. And so as we're thinking about the motivation for compassion toward others, as we're thinking about that motivation, Christ's compassion for us on the cross is the motivation for our compassion toward others. Jesus had compassion on us. I love this. Jesus had compassion on us even when we don't have compassion for others. Man, he had compassion on us even when we don't have compassion for other people. And he loved us so much anyways. And we have to remember as well, I don't want to shame anyone today, but if you're starting to get excited and you want to do more, you have those compassion muscles that are tingling today, and you feel that, you want to act, right? Then you have to remember that we're never going to do this perfectly, but sanctification, which is a big word that means becoming like Jesus, it's a lifelong process. It's a lifelong process. And so as we continue to dwell on the gospel and what Jesus has done for us on the cross, it changes us and it makes our compassion more like his. So as we dwell on what he has done for us on the cross, it makes us look more like his. And so I wanna encourage you to do that today. Every morning, I have a prayer that I read. It's called the gospel prayer, to get in my mind what Jesus has done for me on the cross and just to remember the gospel. So I want to encourage you daily, get the gospel into your life during your daily time of Bible reading. Remember to take time in silence and in prayer. And to remember that you are never more like Christ than when you see, when you feel, and when you meet the needs of those around you. And so y'all, let's go ahead and apply this today and we're all done. First in this room, I wanna speak to those of you who are not Christians. You would say you're not a Christian, that you were just, maybe someone invited you today and you're just checking things out and that's okay. We wanna create a place that is free for you to be able to do that so that you can explore, that you can learn more about Jesus and what he has done for you. But if I can today, I wanna urge you, beg you to realize what Jesus' compassion is and what he has done for you. I wanna urge you to accept Jesus as your savior today. I mean, he loved you so much that he gave up his life for you. And that even when we don't love others compassionately, even when we sin, our addictions, our lying, all the brokenness that we have, that even though we did that, that we could never be with God. And so Jesus was sent into the world to die the death that we deserve. And so I want to urge you today, we're going to have a prayer team right down front at the end of service today. We're gonna have a couple people down front. If you wouldn't mind, or if you want to, as people are leaving today, you have a safe place where you can come up and talk to people right down front. And they would love to give you resources. They would love to tell you, what does it look like to follow Jesus with your life? What does it look like to accept Jesus's compassion for me? They would love to do that. They're gonna be down front right at the end of the services as people are leaving out. I encourage you to come up front and to talk to them. And so if you are a Christian in here, and you would say that you were a member or a regular attender of our church, whether you're a member or whether you're a regular attender, maybe you haven't become a member yet, but maybe you would call this your church home and you come often, and if you are not serving at our church, your application is this today, to start serving at our church. Start serving at our church. Hear me out. We believe that the ground floor of showing others compassion, if we want to love others compassionately, the ground floor is serving at our church. Paul says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 20, he says this, "So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are in the household of faith." Y'all, so we want to love our church. We want to love our church family well, right? And so we want to serve here. We want to use our giftings. And hear me, we have to have the mindset that we want to give as much as we want to receive. We want to give as much as we've been given, as much as we want to receive. And every single thing that happens on Sunday morning here at Redemption Church is a team game. Whether you can see it or not, I'm telling you that we could not pull this off without the volunteers and the servants and the people that serve here. We could not pull this off. And if we are going to truly create a welcoming environment like we do, like we try to do with what we've been given, it takes all the people of God using the gifts that God has given them. It takes all of us to use those gifts. And in a time of isolation and in loneliness, we are designing, we're trying to get better at this, but we're designing our serve teams to be one of the best places for you to build relationships with others. And so we want to continue to make it a place where you can get plugged in, that you can get engaged there, that you can love others and care for them, and you can love and build friendships with other people. And there may not be a greater investment of 45 minutes to an hour and a half of your week for the kingdom of God than by serving the church on the weekend. Why? Because you tell me where there's gonna be unbelievers that are seeking and you have a direct line to them. You have a direct line to people that are coming to our church that don't know Jesus. We have a hospitality team up front in a new here area, and those people are walking up to that tent, to that area inside when it's raining, and they're getting a direct line to love those people well, right? So today I'm gonna ask you to commit to serving because it is deeply compassionate toward others. It is deeply compassionate to others. And we have about, right now, we have about 3 to 5 first-time guests every single week. I mean, we praise God for that, right? Because there's other churches that might not even see that in an entire year. But God has blessed us. He's giving us people that are coming for the first time, and we want to love them well. We want them to see and feel Jesus's love. And there are a ton of kids in our kids' ministry every Sunday who do not know the gospel yet. They're not believers. They don't know the gospel yet. And they are being taught the Bible. They are being discipled. But we have an opportunity to show compassion toward them and their families by the way that we serve. And some of you might be thinking, isn't it just maybe holding a door? Isn't it just holding a door? Y'all, everything speaks. Everything speaks. You imagine with me the single mom who comes in and all of society is telling her that her kids are a burden. And yet when she pulls into our meeting space for the first time, and we have A-frame signs all around here, we have flags that are out, we are showing her, man, that she matters, that her family matters, and they're coming in for the first time. And they see smiling faces in the parking lot, and people are welcoming them in. They see clear signage that shows them where the kids' check-in area is. They're able to go to the kids' check-in. There's smiling faces down there ready to greet them, to love them, to bring their kids in. And there's a security person that is down there as well, making sure that the environment is safe. You imagine she drops her kids off and she goes upstairs up to our lobby, and she sees people waiting to open a door for her, to welcome her in from the cold. And there's water there, there's smiling faces, there's a gift bag, and she's gonna get a gift card later on in the week. And she walks in. Y'all, everything speaks. It's not holding a door. Y'all, everything speaks. We're showing her the love of Jesus. What we're saying is, you matter. You matter. Jesus gave up his life for you. And we love her. We love them. And that's what we want to do here. We want to create that environment for people that don't know Jesus or do, that need a place where they can plug in to a gospel-centered community. And let me tell you that if you are not currently serving, we have a serving spot for you. We don't want to just throw you into a place where you don't like it, you don't feel like you fit in. We want to find what your gifting is. We want to find what you're passionate about. We want to connect those together so that you can thrive, that you can get engaged, that you can build community. We want serving to be like a second small group. We're creating it that way so that you can have a family right here at Redemption Church in your serve team and in the one that you go to throughout the week. We have a serving spot for you. So here's the deal. On your seat, you're gonna see this card. And if you were in that group of people that's not currently serving, if I can lovingly ask you, and you would say that you're a member of our church or a regular attender, I wanna ask you, I'm gonna explain this card here in just a second briefly, but there's a section right here that says serve your church. No matter what side of this card that you might pick, I wanna ask you to fill out your name and your email, your contact information, so that we can follow up with you. We wanna give you clear and simple next steps. Right? We want to give you clear and simple next steps to do this. And so no matter which area, if you do that for me. So the first group of people on this card is this white section on the top that says starting point. This is for those of you that have been at Redemption Church. If you're new with us today, don't feel pressured in any way to do this. But if you have been with us for a while and you've just never gotten plugged into Starting Point, never been for whatever reason, I want to encourage you and challenge you today to make that a priority, to get connected deeper here. If you call this your home now, to check out Starting Point. It's going to be an incredible time. We have one coming up. It's the largest one that we've ever had as a church. Coming up this coming Friday, starts this Friday. There's a free dinner. Childcare is included, or we will reimburse you if you want to find your own childcare. So we want to make it easy for you to get there. We want this to be an incredible, fun Friday night for you. We're going to tell you about our church, how it got started, and how you can plug into the mission with us. And then on Sunday morning, there is an on-ramp portion, and that's the second group of people. If you have actually been to Starting Point, but for whatever reason life happened and we actually just added Starting Point a couple months ago, so if you've never been to OnRamp and you have been to Starting Point, I want to encourage you to sign up for OnRamp. Just like I said, Starting Point's this Friday. So next Sunday, a week from today, OnRamp will take place. There's a light breakfast that we'll have serve with you. And we talk about the why behind serving, looking at the Bible. Why do we serve? And that just lasts for a couple minutes. And then you will break up and you'll go with the ministry that you pick. So you pick the ministry, you're going to go behind the scenes with the leader of that ministry, and they're going to tell you all about it, how you can get plugged in and different roles that there are, different ways that you can serve. And so it's a fun time. You don't want to miss it. So I want to challenge you and encourage you, if you've never been to OnRamp and you've been to Starting Point, sign up for that today, fill out this section, and then everyone can drop this in the buckets as they leave today. There's going to be two buckets in the back with volunteers. You can drop this in. And then lastly, for those of you in here that have been to Starting Point and have been to OnRamp, but for whatever reason, just have never gotten plugged into serving, I want to encourage you and challenge you today to sign up right here on the front underneath the spot where you put your name. There's a spot right here that you can sign up to serve. There's a QR code that you can scan. It's going to take you to a page with pictures and paragraphs that tell you about every single ministry that we have and all about it, so you can find the one that best fits for you. And hear me as well, if you sign up for a ministry, you do any of these three that I just mentioned, and you feel like that ministry is in a few months is not for you, it's not where you lie, hear me, we don't wanna just put you there. We wanna, our ministry team leaders, they wanna move you to another area that might fit better, so we can move you around and find that spot that fits really well for you. And so we wanna do that for you. And hear me as well, we don't wanna burn you out. We don't want you to burn you out. I don't know if you've been to a church where you constantly served and it was just a pain. We don't want to create that. We're trying to build rhythms into our serving to not have that. So every single ministry has a limit on how many times that you can serve monthly, because we don't want to get you to that place. And so right now, if you're at a spot where it is difficult, life is tough, I mean, start with one Sunday. Start with one Sunday a month and serve that way. And then see down the line if you can add more. But we always want to get you to a place where you're Sabbathing well, you're taking that time to rest. So we do not want to burn you out, but we do want you to be obedient to God, because, man, he's given us this talent and we want to use it. We want to steward the talent, the spiritual gifts that he's given us. And we want to see our church be built up in that way. And so you can drop, no matter which thing you picked, you can drop this in the buckets as you leave today. And so, hey, if you are serving, last point of application, if you are serving, you are a member of our church, the application for you today would be to look for ways to extend your compassion outside of the walls of our church. We will be focusing on this during our community group semester, but I want to encourage you, listen to God and think about the passions he has laid on your heart. Put your yes on the table to what God is asking of you. If you have a passion for feeding the homeless, you can sign up for meal prep with the Rescue Mission on their website in about 2 minutes. If you have a passion for medicine, there is a free clinic to volunteer through the Rescue Mission as well. And if you have a passion for loving those who are struggling with the decision of abortion, you can volunteer through Love Life right here in Roanoke, and you can love those people well. You can love people that way. So I want to encourage you, take some time to pray and ask God where you can love others compassionately. And then as we close out our time, I'm reminded of a powerful but tough illustration of loving others compassionately. There's a story goes that during World War II, there was a POW camp where the prisoners were forced to build a railroad. And every single day, at the end of the day, they would have to turn in their shovels and their equipment. And one day, and all of it would be accounted for perfectly. And one day, there was one shovel missing at the end of the day, and the leader of that POW camp was furious. He was mad. He was asking people where it was. Nobody spoke up, so he lined all of them up. And he says, "You tell me where the shovel is, or everyone dies." And again, silence. Nobody said anything. He says, that's it, everybody dies. And they lined up, the guards lined up to kill all those people that were lined up here in this prisoner of war camp. And one person, when that was said, stood up and said, I did it, I took it. And sadly, the leader of that camp came over to him, took out a baton, and the story goes that he beat him to his death, and he died. And then later that day, they found out, they went back and counted the shovels, and every single one of them was accounted for. So they realized that none of the shovels had been taken. They were all accounted for. So that man willingly knew that he had done nothing wrong, but he went forward anyways, and he took the beating and that punishment. Y'all, this is a small taste of what Jesus has done for us in the gospel. Small taste of what he has done for you. Church, it was his compassion that secured your freedom. It was his compassion that secured our freedom. Amen? Amen. And so as we end our Vision 2023 sermon series today, let us worship him deeply. Let's have deep, dependent worship. But let's love like Jesus. Let's love like Jesus. So let's pray.